If you hear no other message this morning than the one we've already heard in song, then that in itself will bless your heart. And that is, Jesus loves me, this I know. I pray that everyone in this congregation this morning knows deep in their heart and soul that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you even to the point that he gave his life for you so that you may share all eternity with him. Jesus loves me, this I know. Praise be to God. This morning, the first Sunday, the first day and the first Sunday of a new year. The last time that the first of the new year was on a Sunday was in 2017. And the next time, because of a leap year coming in between, the next time, the first of January, will be on a Sunday, won't be until 2034. So I hope we're all around in 2034 to greet each other. However, coming on the first day of the new year, it being a Sunday, that we can come into the house of the Lord. I'm always impressed by David, the psalmist, when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Psalm 118. And I'm glad that we are in the house of the Lord today. We are in the house of the Lord to sing praises unto him. We are in the house of the Lord to hear from his word. We are in the house of the Lord at the end of our service today to join in a service of communion around the Lord's table. This is the place for us to be on the very first day of 2023. You know, the world in many ways, people throughout the world, they take New Year's Day to take that day as a day to determine resolutions, things that they are going to do that they promised to do all during the last year, haven't done, and now the New Year is upon them, and they are thinking about doing it. And those New Year's resolutions, according to statistics, seem to last somewhere around 8 or 9 days. And after that, they seem to be forgotten. But I'm more concerned that we as Christians look to the Word of God. And we look to the Word of God to guide us and direct us and lead us in our day-to-day life. So this morning, let us hear from the Word of God as we read in Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's chapter 3, beginning to read verse number 12. If you are looking at the Pew Bible, it's on page 1163. Let us hear the Word of God. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. From this passage of Scripture and on this first Sunday of the new year, we are reminded of three things. We should forget the things that are behind us. We should foresee the things that are before us, and we should fulfill those things which are beyond us. Foresee, at least forget, foresee, and fulfill. We should forget the things that are behind us. One of the great barriers that the one who leads all sin in this world, the one who is out to get us and our soul, one of the great barriers that we have and that he uses so faithfully is that we look at the past and we think about the past both in terms of successes and failures. The failures, we say, oh my goodness, I don't want to try something new. I failed before. I don't want to do anymore. I can't stand the idea of failing again. And then our successes, we look back at the successes, whether they were few or many, whatever they are, and sometimes they will hold us back from doing anything new because we dwell on the past and we really need to be taking a look forward to the future. I often think of Paul. We just read part of his letter that he sent to the Philippians, and Paul lived a life that he thought was honoring God. It was not. And then when he had a dramatic experience of meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus, things changed. And he began to look ahead. And he looked ahead, and how could he possibly do the ministry that he was going to do and all that God had called him to do if he labored on his past life, if he labored on everything that was going on, his so-called successes and his failures in times past? I don't know when Paul learned these words. We've discovered them by the Apostle John, who wrote them in his first letter, the three letters, the first of them. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This had to be a part of Paul's very being. Whether he heard those words from John at that time or whether they're recorded later doesn't matter. What does matter is that Paul knew these words. He confessed his sin, and he knew in confessing his sin that God would cleanse him from all unrighteousness, from everything of his past life of which he was greatly ashamed. Paul came to know two very important truths, and we need to know what these truths are. Number one is our past sins must be forgiven, and number two, our past successes must be forsaken. Now, you and I know that our sins are forgiven, but not because of something that we've done, other than placing all of our trust in Jesus as Savior. Jesus is the one who paid for our sins. Jesus is the one who has forgiven us of our sins. And the most remarkable truth is, when God has forgiven us through the blood of Jesus Christ for all of our sins committed, the sins past, present, and future, until we are at home with God in glory, Jesus died for all those sins. Praise be to him. We must know that our past sin must be forgiven, but only through Jesus. We also know that our past successes must be forsaken. Now, I am not a runner. I like to walk, but I'm not a runner. For a number of years ago, for 3 months, a friend and I, we ran around the subdivision. Nothing could have made me happier than when that time was completed. I did not enjoy the running experience. In fact, as I've watched people run out on the street, I haven't noticed a happy runner yet. Have you? They all seem to have a very sad face. Can I make it? Can I make it? Can I make it? I know the answer to that. No, I can't make it. But at any rate, while I was not a runner, I did a little running in high school. But also in high school, I was involved in track and field. And that's what they called it in those days. And track and field, I was in the high jump. And in our school, I got first place in the high jump, the male high jump. And then we had a regional gathering of all the schools in the greater Halifax region. And in that jump, I came third. Now, when you go to court, it says, I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Well, now you've had the truth, but you didn't hear the whole truth. The truth is, I did place third. That's true. The whole truth is, there are only three in the high jump. However, yes, I came last, but I hold on to the first part of that truth, that I came third. One of the things that I learned, though, was that particularly from those who were runners, that you always keep your eye on the goal. You don't look back to see where you've come from. You don't look back to see where the other runners are. You don't think about your past successes. You don't think about your past failures. You keep your eye on the goal, and you keep running toward it with all your might and with all your power. This is what we need to do in life. We need to not look back at our past successes or failures, but we need to have a goal ahead of us, and we need to run toward that goal. In life, one of the most subtle devices the enemy of our souls uses is to tell us to look back and chastise us because we failed, and then try to be in our own minds in a better place because of our successes. And then we concentrate on those. And when we do, we don't think about where we are and we don't think about where we need to go. Paul's advice is very important. He said, forget what is behind. Forget what is behind. We need to look at the present and we need to look at the future. We should forget the things behind and we should foresee the things before us, the things right in front of our eyes. Paul writes, straining toward what is ahead. And then he continues, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. In this statement, Paul is recognizing both the eventualities of life and the responsibilities of life. The eventualities, the events that occur in our life. Some of those events we control. Some events happen in our life over which we have absolutely no control. And then there are responsibilities that come to us. And in these responsibilities, we are to look at them and we are to meet them. So then, the eventualities of life straining toward what is ahead. Many people are afraid of the future. They don't know what tomorrow is going to bring next week or next month. They're nervous and scared and afraid. I think about the people of Ukraine at the moment. The conflict started somewhere around February 24th last year, in 2022. And this conflict has been going on and is still going on. On Easter Sunday in Ukraine of 2022, Franklin Graham preached to the people of Ukraine. Thousands of people put their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. Thousands of people got to the point of understanding what Paul wrote to Timothy when he said, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline." Not a spirit of fear. But I think that the people in Ukraine today, there are many of them who are living a very fearful life. But those who place their trust in Jesus as Lord, then they have learned something. They know that nothing, absolutely nothing, can happen in their life that God does not know about ahead of time, and that God allows within his permissive will. Everyone who puts their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, this does not come to a surprise to the mind of Jesus. He knows what is going on, and he is the one who takes away our fear. We put all of our trust in him. Regardless of the eventualities of life, even the people in the Ukraine, they are tasting this now in a way that we are not. People in China are, people in India are, people in Africa are. They're tasting things, experiencing things, having events in their life that we're not experiencing. But praise be to God that we and they, every believer, put our trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord of our life. And our future is in his hands, whatever the eventualities of life are. Then there are the responsibilities. I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You notice these words? I press toward the goal. That's what we're talking about in terms of the runner. The runner looks toward the goal. He keeps moving, he or she keeps moving in that direction without looking behind. The goal of every Christian, every believer, is the prize which God has called us to, called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul lived what I call his first life in persecution of Christians. And while from a human perspective and from a Jewish rabbi perspective, he was very successful, we know that he was not successful. He was not in the will of God, although he thought that he was. But then in his second life, when he turned it over completely to Jesus, looked to Jesus as Savior and Lord, hear what Paul wrote. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Now listen to this. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. The crown of righteousness to all who long for his appearing. There are days when I long for his appearing. I say, Lord Jesus, I hope this is the day that you are going to return. Then there are days that I go along and I just sort of forget that maybe Jesus could come at any time. But there's a crown of righteousness for those who long for his return. as the world gets in a deeper and deeper position, farther and farther away from the will of God, the time of Jesus returning is getting closer and closer. And I believe that believers everywhere are longing for the return of Christ. Can you just imagine us being in the kingdom with Jesus? Can you imagine even when we are on earth in his thousand-year reign that we are with him? Can you imagine being in the presence of Jesus and all the other saints, that is, believers, who are with him? Can you imagine doing the will of God, being out of the presence and the influence of sin of any kind in thought, word, or deed, being in our Savior's presence? To that we can long, and there's a crown of righteousness for all who look forward to that day when we will be with Jesus. You and I, we should forget the things that are behind us. We need to foresee the things that are before us, and we need to fulfill the things that are beyond us. In Paul's word, we read this: not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. The late Dr. M.R. DeHaan, he was the founder of the Daily Bread that we read each day, and he also was a co-author for quite a while, co-contributor. He wrote this: self-satisfaction is the death of progress. Dissatisfaction with past accomplishments is the mother of invention. Because man was dissatisfied with carrying and lifting loads on his shoulder, he invented vehicles to ride in. Pity the man who is content with his own progress and feels he has arrived. This is all the more true in the Christian life. And then he continued, the most boring people I ever met are ones who take up my time telling me what they have done when they ought to be doing more. When we ought to be doing more. I've listened to people as people have gotten older in age, and some have said, I've done my bit. I have nothing more to do. I can't contribute. Not Saul. Remember this: Moses didn't begin his greatest work until he was 80 years of age. Saul, that's the beginning, not the end of what we do. Regardless of our age, we are to press on, looking ahead as to what the things are that God would have us do. A long while ago, some of you will remember Burl Nicholas. Remember Burl well. She was our pianist for many, many years, and tragically, she was murdered in her home. But dear Burl, she said to me, Moses, he spent the first 40 years of his life thinking that he was a somebody. That was in the court of Pharaoh. He spent the second 40 years of his life thinking that he was a nobody as he was in the desert leaving Pharaoh's palace. And then he spent the last 40 years of life finding out that God can make a somebody out of a nobody. Now that's for you and for me. Regardless of our age, we need to be open to God's Spirit in our life, to work for him, press toward the goal. Many of you will know that one of my favorite verses ever since I was a teenager was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But there's a caveat with that. All things true in his will, but all things out of his will, he's not going to give us the power to do so. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, all things within his will for my life. That's what I want to do. He's not going to bless me or give me strength to do things that are against him, just those things that are for him and with him. The resurrection power of Jesus. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. The power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ resides within the life of every believer. There is a time coming, either by physical death or by the rapture, that our soul, spirit, mind, and personality are going to leave our body and we're going to be with the Lord. It is the power of his resurrection in your life and in mine. We must recognize his resurrection power and also his redemptive passion. his redemptive passion. Paul said that I may know him and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Now that's kind of a complicated passage of scripture. We may wonder exactly what it means, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Well, thank goodness theologians have studied this with a fine-tooth comb, and they believe it's not suffering with Jesus in terms of the same experiences that he had, heaven forbid, when we think of all that he went through for us. We think of that. But rather, that means having the passion for a lost world. For you and me, having a passion, a concern, a care about our family members who are lost, lost meaning not saved, who haven't trusted in Christ as Savior and Lord. For our neighbors, our friends, for our colleagues, for the people with whom we work, those who know not Christ as Savior and Lord are heading out into an eternity of hell, a very, very unspeakable, unpleasant eternity. But for those who put their trust in Jesus, praise be to God, we are going to be with him forever and forever. A gentleman by the name of Ralph Kesar wrote, "If you would plant for a year, plant grain. Yours will be an ear of grain. If you would plant for a decade, plant trees. Yours shall be olives and shade and ease. To plant for eternity, plant men. Eternal harvest shall be yours then." Planting people, presenting the gospel message. Jesus loves me. This I know. Jesus loves you. This I know. And the love of Christ poured out on others so that they will come to know who he is and what he's done for them. Praise be to God. May we, on this first day of 2023, a Sunday, forget what is behind, foresee what is before us, and fulfill all that is beyond us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.